Well, this morning, we now come to the matter of really showing the saints and teaching what is holy in the Lord's house. As we were fellowshipping yesterday afternoon, and we were covering the verses regarding even the judgment for the believers, I was really surprised, awakened, I think. As I was telling some of the saints afterwards, it's like a sledgehammer, right? That the Lord really doesn't just have judgment for those who don't believe, but the Lord wants to see us all perfected in His house. Right. Not to just wait until the last minute and say, well, haven't I done this for you, Lord? Haven't I done that for you, Lord? But the Lord really will judge us in that day.
Amen.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read through this passage yesterday. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 to 11. Maybe we could just read it one more time.
Amen.
Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. Amen. Yeah, yesterday I think was really the first time I saw the terror of the Lord, right? Everything in His house, everything that we do, we can't just handle so loosely, right? We can't just say, be so satisfied, right? I make it to the meeting, I'm meeting in the right place, I do this, I do that. But the Lord in that day is really going to be judging everything that we've done. And we want to be those who are well-pleasing to Him.
Amen.
And the servants that are well-pleasing to the Father.
Amen.
So in this morning, we go then to Ezekiel chapter 44. Let's turn there. Ezekiel chapter 44. Please let me know if I speak too fast.
Yes, you do.
I do. I will slow down. By the Lord's grace. So, Ezekiel chapter 44. Let's read verses 23 to 24. And they shall teach my people the difference between holy and the unholy, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. In controversy, they shall stand as judges, and judge it according to my judgment. They shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my appointed meetings, and they shall hallow my Sabbath.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Right. They shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy.
Amen.
Cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Right? In controversy, standing as judges. Right? If we're going to get to this goal and really come before the Lord and see how He's judging us in the end, we don't want to wait until the very last minute to know, right? And that is very much the purpose, one of the key purposes for the body, right? That in the body, we're all teaching each other what is holy versus unholy, right? In the New Testament, it's not just a few select people appointed somewhere in the church, like today it is only John Yao's sharing that to teach us what is holy versus unholy. But as we are all priests of Zadok, we are the ministers that are to give life to the body, right? The ministers to teach the saints what is holy versus unholy.
Amen.
And without this, if we don't have this desire, if we don't have this movement in us, right? How will we all be perfected in that day, right? The Lord really needs to use each one of us to really divide for the saints what is holy versus unholy. Because, at any given time, we all have our different daily struggles. We all have our various problems. And without the body to really help us see our condition, to really to help us to distinguish what's what the Lord desires. It's very difficult, right? Maybe I can just read a few verses. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Right? It says, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching." Right? Amen. And in 1 Corinthians 14:26, maybe you don't need to, I'll be distracted with flipping too much. It says, "How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification." Right? You know, so we see clearly in the body that all of us, as we come together, are really teaching each other what is it to be holy, what is unclean in the Lord's house, right? We need this if we're to go on. You know, when I read this verse about teaching the saints to be, you know, what is holy, what is unholy in Ezekiel, the first time I read it, I really thought, you know, how easily we can become self-righteous with it, right? How we can say, you know, I know it's holy and unholy, I will tell you right away and I will show you and I will, you know, try to force you to become holier through my own strength, right? I'm going to read James chapter 1, verse 20. What does James chapter 1, verse 20 say? Right. Amen. Right. The wrath of man. Want to read that real quick? Righteousness of God. Right. Amen. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You know, I was actually thinking back to when I was younger. You know, somebody did something against me, and you know, I was thinking, oh, you know, that's not right. That's not according to the word. You know, I would get really stirred up, and I would, you know, write long emails. So I would, you know, I think part of you, maybe some of you in this room have received them. But you know, I would get very stirred up in my flesh, right? And I'd say, you know, how can they do this? You know, don't they know? Don't they understand what the word says? But I realized, you know, over the years that, in a sense, I've gotten a little bit softer because I realize that if it's just coming out of our own righteousness, if it's coming out of our own wrath, it does not produce the righteousness of God, right? We can try to force the saints to do one thing or another, but maybe they'll do it. But maybe they'll do it just to please you, right? And if it's that way, they won't really see the Lord, right? They won't see why the Lord is directing them in that direction. So if it's just our own righteousness, if it's just the righteousness for man, it won't last. It's just something very temporary. So we need to see that to teach the saints between holy and unholy is really a matter of the Spirit, right? You know, we read these verses many times, but I think we should all read it together again. It's very important. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Lord Jesus, amen. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life.
Amen.
Right. So how then should we direct the saints to what is holy, right? Say, don't you know the Bible says this, right? Should we do that? The Lord in this, the speaking in this chapter in Corinthians really shows us that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So everything that we share regarding how it is to behave in the Lord's house, to see the Lord clearly, cannot be from a source of man, right? Can't be a source of just showing people exactly what the word says. But it has to direct them to the Spirit, which is behind the Word.
Amen.
If we just have the letter, it's not enough to save us, right? Some of you know, a few months ago, my older brother, who's 6 years older, had a heart attack, right? Actually, he's a doctor, right? He's a doctor who was working in the emergency room the day he had a heart attack, right? And actually, he wasn't taking good care of his own health, right? He was eating way too much all the time, like every single day of his life. You know, just not taking care of his body, doing all these things. And yet he's a doctor, right? When I was talking to him about how he was doing afterwards, he said, well, you know, my prognosis is good. Maybe you should take this and this and this test to check up on your own health. You might consider this. And later on, they might have to do this to me, right? Knows exactly what's going on, right? Very good amount of knowledge. Knows what he should have done. He knows what is going to happen. He knows everything, but he doesn't do it, right? Really, it's our condition today, too, right? We can know everything. We can know, we can know everything that's said in the Word, memorize it back and forth until we're blue in the face. But if we don't have the Spirit of the Lord to fulfill it, it's impossible to see the Lord, right? We can't become righteous of our own faith, right? Of our own ability, I mean. You know, even the Pharisees in the time of when Jesus was there, he was right in front of them, and all the Pharisees knew all the scriptures from all the times, and they knew everything, all the prophecies, they read all the prophets, but somehow they don't see the Lord in front of them, right? And for us, if we direct the saints only to the letter, this is what we're doing to them, right? Yes. We're just giving them, here are the rules you should follow, study this, you know, do these things, but it won't lead anywhere. Yeah. You know, in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, right, it says, regarding the law, right, what is its function? Let's read quickly. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So you can take the law, throw it in people's face, show them this is what the word says, this is what the word says, do it. And in the end, you can only instruct them, you know, what they are doing wrong. You can't give them life just by the law, right?
Can you repeat the verse?
Oh, Romans chapter 3, verse 20, right? So, we need to see that the Lord himself, the Spirit, is the only way we can get, the only way we can become holy versus unholy. Right. And this is what we need to show the saints. Let's read Matthew 5, 17. Maybe actually this half of the room, can you read Matthew 5, 17? And then this half of the room, can you read Hebrews 10, verse 16? Yes, then you can choose. Matthew 5, 17.
Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
Amen.
To fulfill.
Amen. Yeah, and Hebrews 10:16.
This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, you know, the Lord in the Spirit is really going to fulfill his word, even his law, through the Spirit in us, right? It's clear that Christ came not to abolish it, to destroy the law, but he's fulfilling it, right? Because once we have the Spirit of the Lord in us, we're very ready and able to fulfill what the Lord demands, right? Without it, it's just rules and guidance of what we should do, but with it, it's much more, right? You know, when we're considering then, how can we go on, how can we teach the saints what is holy versus unholy? Right, we have to see clearly how insufficient we are to do that. Right, we can't say that I'm so smart, I've read so much, I have so much experience. The other saints, they don't know. But I can show them. Right, but we need to say only the Lord who is working through us. Right, the Lord who is speaking through us, who is fulfilling His very law, is capable of dividing what is holy versus unholy. Now, I was thinking of an easy example, you know, people know I like to cook, right? And let's say it's just some very simple dish. let's say it's mapo tofu, right? You know that it's like basically meat with tofu in a sort of a gravy sauce, Chinese style, right? And you know, if I'm going to teach you how to do that this one time, you know, the very first thing I might ask you is, have you ever cooked before, right? Do you know how to cook? You know, have you touched a wok before? Do you know how to use a stove? Do you know how to stir stuff? You know, some people who've never cooked a day in their life, I may try to instruct them in a way that's very practical from very basic steps. Turn on the fire, watch the stove as it gets hot, you know, be careful, don't touch it, you know. very, very basic things. But someone who walks in and actually they're very good at cooking already, I just say, okay, you just put these things together and you throw it in there and that's what it is, right? Cook that first, then that, and then cook them all together, right? Actually, I've been teaching Sam to cook, so he knows. Sam, remember? You know, I was teaching him, you know, when you touch chicken, don't touch your clothes afterwards, you know? So, but, you know, in the world, that's what we do to help people to learn something, right? To gain some knowledge of something, right? But it's pretty insufficient because the day after or a week later when they decide I'm not there and they decide to go ahead and cook it, you know, it's difficult sometimes because they just did that one time long ago, but I'm not sitting there watching them, right? I'm not sitting there next to them showing them exactly what to do, right? We have to see that the Lord, guiding people to the Lord really is the only way that they can ever fulfill the Lord's purpose. It's the only way that they can ever distinguish between what is holy versus unholy, because it's the Lord himself doing the work, right? Who knows us better, right? I can know Sam's background on cooking and maybe what I need to say to him, but who knows us better than the Lord, right? Matthew 10:30 says, Matthew chapter 10, verse 30 says, 10, verse 30, right? Says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered, right? That means the Lord knows even the hairs on our head. And not just the things which are on the outside, right? In Psalm 139, it says, verse 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Right? Amen.
Only the Lord can know us in such a deep way, right? As much as we have a desire to help the saints to grow, to see the Lord's purpose done in his house, we ourselves, you know, I don't even know what maybe two is thinking half the time, or I don't even know what my wife is thinking half the time, right? we are in the flesh so incapable of knowing what is what somebody needs that only that we really need the Lord to really bring light to his house, right? Only the Lord showing us what the need is of that person who's sitting next to us or having fellowship with can bring that person to what is holy versus unholy, right? You know, I think we've experienced this too. You know, for those of you who maybe you've had a burden and you really need to speak to someone and fellowship with them regarding something, if it's by the flesh, you really struggle. You're sweating. As we're reading, your sweats across your brow. You're getting sweaty in your linen garments and trying with your own might to really convince someone. But if the Spirit is moving in us, it's a different experience.
Amen.
The Spirit's capable of showing us, you know, exactly what that person needs to hear, right? And in a way that really moves them to be closer to the Lord, right?
Amen.
Doesn't draw them to ourselves. Doesn't make them just follow some letter or some law, but really helps them to gain an experience of the Lord, helps them go to the Spirit, right?
Amen.
And this is the sort of teaching that we need in the Lord's house,
Amen.
Right? And this is very much a responsibility of all the priests of Zadok, right? That as we fellowship together, as we come together, and as we go through, as it mentions, the controversies in each of our lives, the controversies even in the Lord's house, all these things, right? That we put on the Lord to do so. Right?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go back to Ezekiel now and read verses 25 to 27. Amen. They shall not defile themselves by coming near a dead person,
only for father or mother, for son or daughter,
for brother or unmarried sister,
may they defile themselves. After he is cleansed, they shall count 7 days for him. And on the day that he goes to the sanctuary to minister in the sanctuary, he must offer his sin offering in the inner court, says the Lord God.
Amen. Yeah, when I first read these verses, I was pretty confused. Why shouldn't they not defile themselves with a dead person, right? But we have to see that these dead people were once alive, right? They were living. These are, in this case, the people who were in Israel, and they were dead, right? And the Lord says to keep away from them. Don't be defiled by the dead people, right? So we need to see clearly that that we don't want to be those who simply partake of everything that is that says it is from the Lord, but is not, right? At one point, anybody who has ever believed in Christ and accepted the Lord has come to the Lord and accepted it by faith. And that's very much in the Spirit, right? But what does it say in Galatians chapter 3, right? I'm just going to read Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. It says, "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh?" Right? Right? So even as once we were alive, we get to know the Lord, we have the Spirit working in us, we are saved, you know, even by simply believing and receiving the grace of the Lord. Afterwards, if we then go by trying to, you know, back to the flesh to try to serve the Lord, back to the flesh to do, to become perfected or to do anything, right? It's really deadness, right? You know, if there are some who have seen what the Lord wants in his house, they've seen the church, they've seen the vision, they say, "Hallelujah, this is what I want," right? But after a while, they, for some reason, if there's a problem or anything else, they don't want any part of that anymore. And we should be very careful, right? It says we should keep away and not be defiled by anything that is dead, right?
Right.
Meaning, you know, don't allow yourself then to be poisoned with such thoughts that come from death, right? A lot of times there are people who try to then, they're distracted, they don't believe anymore. They try to pull people in. They say, "Oh, don't you see this? Don't you think this happens?" You know, it's really the work of the enemy to do so against his house. Right. Well, even among Christians today, right, we need to be saved from this confusion that's in the world, not to go back to dead practices, right? Let's read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. We just read a very good word saying, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season," right? So what follows up after that? Let's read chapter 4, verse 3 and 4.
"For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables."
Right. Right. So we have the Spirit of the Lord working in us, teaching us how to help the saints, working in each of the saints. But that's not enough in many cases, according to this passage, right? There are many who think that they need to heap up for themselves teachers, right? Things that have, because of their own itching ears, right? They want to hear something really good that helps them to make, you know, feel better, scratch their ear, right? Something well-pleasing to their own flesh. But it's not what the Lord wants, right? We need to see that the Lord doesn't want us to be perfected by any means other than the Spirit, like it says in Galatians, right? There's a lot of this in the world today. You know, I think we've gone through quite a bit of it. Let me just reiterate, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Let me just pick a few. This is a passage, but let me pick a few verses here, right? "Where is the wise?" I'm going to start on verse 20. "Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" Right? And I'm going to skip down to 25. "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Right? You You know, we really need to see today that using our own flesh is really death, right? It's really death. It kills the life in the house. It kills the saints, right? It kills any chance that the Lord has to show his wisdom, right? Because we start to say that, yeah, this makes sense, even though it comes from man, right? You know, I'm a program manager in my profession, right? So what I do is I work on projects, and oftentimes there's decisions that have to be made. There's things that are slowing down, and you know what I do is I go to work and I put together trade-off tables. Say, this is our options. Here's the advantages. Here's the disadvantages. Here's where we're going to run out of time. This is. I imagine if I brought all those things into the Lord's house, I'd said, well, you know, here's the possible directions, brothers. We can do this. This the advantage between this is this, but the disadvantage is this, right? And sooner or later, right? All we're thinking about is all the possibilities of what's good, what's bad, what's you know, and it really just puts people to death, right?
Right.
Because in the end, the trade-off table, no matter what the advantage, no matter what the disadvantage, the Lord wants to do something, right? And the Lord has to have a clear will in his house, right? So, you know, I feel, on the job, I feel very empowered to do those things, right? I'm like, yes, we got a decision. We're moving forward, right? But when it comes to the Lord's house, I'm often very humbled because I say, you know, I don't know what the Lord wants to do in this case, right? Mm-hmm. And only by the Spirit of the Lord, only the Lord can show us Amen. How to proceed in his house, right? Amen. Everything else is just the wisdom of man, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we've already shared a lot about books, right? Books, books, books. You know, there was just reading these verses, I was thinking about how much we rely or how much many people rely on these things, right? If you go to Amazon.com and you just, you know, search for a few things, right? You can look up building a Christian church, right? It was a very interesting search. I just, you know, checked around a little bit. You know, there's over 4,000 books about how to build a church, right? Over 4,000, right? And let's say marriage, right? You say having a Christian marriage, right? Over 3,700 books, right? So actually, the funny thing is the opposite. There are more books about marriage than there is the church. But there are so many things that are written by people. And then when you look through the reviews, just go a little bit deeper. Read the reviews, see what people are saying. You see some people say, well, I like this book, but you know, I don't like you said this. Or this other reviewer said, I like the principles that they talked about this one, but this other book has a much better way of presenting it. And then this other person put a one star and said, I don't like how this was written in the 70s and how he promotes people to beat their wives. Right? You read through these things, right? And you can really see there's so much wisdom of man, right? There's so much wisdom of man out there. It's like people are thinking, right? And it's foolishness before God. It's less than the foolishness, right? It's less than the foolishness of God because the Lord looks at that and he says, what are you doing? Right? But yet somehow, you know, if we're not careful, we decide to touch all sorts of things. I want to be near this body, right? This dead body, then, you know, it's death, right? Kills us, kills everyone else. Kills the saints. It spreads, right? That's why in the, you know, when there was a plague, they burned the bodies, right? Don't mm-hmm. come anywhere near it, right? But we need to be really cleansed from this. You know, allow me to comment a bit. And just remain in my dead past experiences for a second. You know, I was considering my background. For many of you who don't know, you know, I was in Boston. I was meeting with a church over there who did not really see the Lord's vision. And I spent many years there, 5 years of my life before moving to Cupertino. And it was actually at one of the mountain trips that I asked John a lot of questions about, you know, what does the Lord want, right? Because up until that point, I had a lot of concerns in my heart over what I saw when I was in Boston. And, you know, we need to see that the Lord, we need to see how clearly the death in the world is so that we are careful not to touch it, right? Careful not to just take hold of it, right? It was good in the afternoon fellowship yesterday. We read about the purpose-driven church, about that article. But I also wanted to share some personal experiences of my past, right? All sorts of crazy things were said. It's a short way to say it. A lot of wisdom of man. One of the pastors one time told me, oh, you know, you should be careful when it comes to the Spirit, because that's probably just your feelings, right? Right? That, you know, but he didn't see that, yes, the Lord is the Spirit living in us. He said, oh, no, just be careful about when you talk about the Spirit. That's probably just your feelings, right? Another time, we were supposed to have some time of singing, of some worship, and the same pastor said to me, you know, I thought we weren't going to do this unless we had more instruments, right? Like, what are we doing with so few instruments? We can't praise the God, you know, we can't praise God now. We don't have enough instruments. a lot of the times, you know, we went through Sunday schools where they read Revelation, and I was reading Revelation in Cupertino, we were going through it a few years ago in some of the conferences, I really gained a lot of light out of it, because my previous thorough reading of it was several Sunday schools where we kind of went through the timeline, and some people believe this, other Christians believe that, some Christians believe this, but you're welcome to believe whatever you want to, right? That's right? And there was even worse Sunday schools. One of them was on sentence diagrams. You know, if you want to know the point of the passage, circle the subject, draw a line to the verb, do this, trace it back here, do this, and, you know, and in the end, I think I fell asleep in that one. But, but you know, today, you know, don't be mistaken, right? Don't think that we're talking about things which aren't happening, because they are everywhere, right? Because man is very wise. They think that there's a better way to do things than the Spirit, because they can't systemize the Spirit. They can't put some kind of rule or law on paper, you shall do this at this exact moment, because it's the Spirit, right? It's living, right? But if we only rely on these things that are worldly techniques, worldly ideas, then, you know, then the Lord really will just kill his house, right? And, you know, I had a friend who was one of my roommates in college for a year, one of the 4 years, but he was saved when he was a freshman. We preached the gospel to him. He received the Lord. He read through Romans. He read through Matthew, the gospels. He probably read through the Bible at least once over the next 4 years. You know, he went to all the meetings that I was at. You know, he went to these Sunday schools, great, great Sunday schools. He went to these fellowship meetings, went to on-campus fellowship meetings, went to the Sunday meetings, all these things, did this. And after I came to the Bay Area, you know, I found out that he had moved to the area, and I looked him up. I said, hey, how are you doing? Do you want to come to one of the Christian meetings? I heard you haven't been going anywhere recently. And you know, he'd gone off and stopped coming to any meetings of some sort. And I was really curious I had a burden to see, you know, maybe I can, if the Lord's willing, he can come back. So I brought him to one of the Friday night meetings. I think some of the saints met him, or maybe remember him. But we were going through the verses. We had a good meeting. And then afterwards, I took him out to have some dinner afterwards. It was a late meal. And so he was explaining, I was asking him, you know, what happened, right? Why don't you go to any meetings anymore? You know, what have you stopped believing? You know, what's going on with you? Why don't you see the Lord anymore, right? And what he said back then didn't really surprise me until we started to prepare for this conference. And what he said was, you know, I'm not like you. I've never actually experienced the Lord, right? I've never actually had an experience or had any experience of the Lord, right? And what he was really getting at in a way to put it is that he had never touched the Spirit in those 5 years that he went to so many Sunday schools, so many meetings, so did the right things, all these things. He had never ever in those 5 years touched the Lord, right? Amazing, right? So, you know, we need to be really aware that if it's just the things which are dead, the things which don't have any life to them, in the end we can preach about this is what Revelation says, have your own opinion. We can do all these things and give them so much knowledge, right? But they will never gain the Lord, right? So bringing the saints to the Lord is the only way to be saved. Amen. And that's why we need to keep away from this death, right? Yes. Not to be so caught up in all these things that everyone says. especially for us in the church, right? We need the Spirit then, right?
Amen.
Let's read 1 John chapter 2, verse 26 to 27. 1 John chapter 2, verse 26 to 27.
These things I have written to you concerning those who tried to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and it is true, and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him.
Amen. Amen. Only the Spirit. Amen. Only the Spirit has such an anointing that can teach us all things. Right?
Amen.
Well, there's only one source of life, right?
Yes.
And it does not come from our own flesh. It does not come from our own ability, but it's really only by the Spirit.
Amen.
Right? May the Lord really help us, right, to discern by the Spirit, not to take everything in, right?
Yes.
Not to touch death, not to grab hold of it, but to say, oh, is this really from you, Lord? You know, show me, right? May the Lord really give us such a taste, not just grabbing onto all these dead things. We don't want to stay used to it, right? My brother, actually the same brother, when he was first working in his hospital, in his profession as a doctor, he used to get called in all the time to basically pronounce the time of death for people if they were dying. That's basically why he was on call, right? And you might think to yourself, oh, that's a very grim thing, right? You're going to go in there, declare someone's time of death. I would think it's pretty grim too, honestly, right? But he had been doing it so long, at some point he was joking about it, like, oh man, another person's going to die on me, and, you know, just joking about it very loosely. And I was sort of shocked, but, I realized, if you're around death so much, if you just think that's normal, eventually you don't think you have no sensitivity anymore. You don't think anything of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord today really needs to give us a spirit of discernment.
Amen.
Amen.
Not to say business as usual. I will continue on in my flesh, right? But to say, Lord, live in us. Show us what is from you.
Amen.
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 Amen.